The Wednesday Up Late podcast is made possible with help from Inspire 9. Located directly opposite Richmond train station, Inspire 9 is the best office space and co-working environment in Melbourne. And with cost-effective, flexible terms, it's the right solution for your business. Visit inspire9.com to take a virtual tour and see for yourself.
Who did it last week?
Just take it away whenever you want to, really.
Take it away. Just take it away. Take it away. Take it away. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday Up Late. We are your hosts. I am Chloe, and this is...
I'm Glenn. And clearly there are exercises involved with, like, warming in to a show. That was an interesting one.
Yeah, well, see, I've never been good at opening the show, and so I kind of just got to get straight into it, you know, because it's just so awkward. Anyway, hi.
G'day.
How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I had fun last week.
Me too.
Did you like the whole...
I have fun every week.
Did you like the whole introduction of the visual kind of thing?
Loved it.
Okay, I've got another one for you tonight.
Oh, I was going to attempt one this week, but I haven't been sort of on my game. So
yeah.
I haven't got a visual one for you this week. But
okay.
Yeah. Well, excellent. Welcome everybody as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hi everyone.
Yeah, hi, audience. Welcome to Wednesday Up Late. We are your regular video podcast, vodcast, whatever you want to call us. We'll take it. Welcome. You can fuck me. I've royally screwed the pooch on this
keep
one.
Keep going.
Go and find us on social media. Go do it and like follow us and like and subscribe. There's so much content there for your wonderful little earbuds to listen to. You go to goodmoviemonday.com, which of course is our flagship podcast that we have sprung out the side of like a second head. There's a little drop-down box for Wednesday Up Late where you can find us everywhere.
We are the weekly podcast that just spit shit. We're Wednesday Up Late. I'm Glenn.
And I am Ramalama Ding Dong.
Hey, you remember last week I started the show off with a little visual warm-up for you? Something to wet your whistle and get you in the right frame of mind. Would you like another one?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So get your phone on you.
Is this another meme thing?
Kind of. Just an image I want you to have a look at pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm good.
Ready? Okay.
Yes.
Enjoy.
Is it going to pop up on the for the audio?
Don't you mind enjoying that? I mean, imagine if you had that for your Shrek party all those years ago.
Inappropriate for 11-year-olds, I think, but you know, I get your point.
Do you get his point? Doesn't really
Is
have
there
one.
A point? Mate.
Excellent. Now the rubbers hit the road and we're off.
Wow.
The rubbers hit the mattress in that case.
My lord. Mm. Well, tell me, Glenn, what have you been up to this week? Have you seen anything new? Have you seen anything exciting?
Well, trying to think.
Have you revisited anything?
I've had a shitful week in general, just personally, as well as, you know, work has been hectic. What have I seen this week? Haven't been to any screenings. Had to pull out of one just for personal reasons. And
that's what she said.
What did I watch at home? I've been watching a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
I've gone right back to the start to go, because like I reckon last time I watched it, I got maybe to halfway through season 4 and then just lost track of time. So I'm going back and binging all the way. Movie-wise, I watched Saw again because I recently got the 4K for that. So I watched that. Other stuff I can't remember.
There you go. Well, you know, I haven't really watched anything.
Oh, really? You're not going to surprise me with something?
No, I kind of dropped the ball this week. I've been sucked in. Like you to a TV show, and I haven't been able to dig myself out of that hole just yet. I'm almost done with it. So, you know, after that, Letterkenny.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Letterkenny. Yeah. I'm obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was already obsessed with Shawzy, and then I went back and started Letterkenny. And yeah, here we are.
Excellent. Excellent.
He's a genius. Can I just say, Jared Kiso, I think his name is, he's a fucking genius.
Actually,
I'm in love with him every which way. I really am.
Excellent.
Yep. Hi, Jared.
I've got nothing to add to that because, like, I mean, I enjoy it, but I haven't really gone too far into it.
Oh, I'm surprised you haven't. It's like
but
Canadian
it's,
dry humor.
Oh, I know, I know. Best. It's just because it's television and I really don't pay much attention to television. And when I do, it's very specific. And then I just latch onto one thing and just go hard.
That's me too. Yeah. And that's why I've been so obsessed. But anyway, we're a movie podcast.
That's right. Although, look, we need to get you onto Good Movie Monday because we've now got a segment on every week that's called Terrific TV Tuesday on a Monday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so we've actually opened a space to talk about television in an official podcast way.
I like it. I like it because as much as I love movies, you know I love my TV and I could talk about it all the time. And I do. Anyway, moving on. To pull back the curtains a little bit for the viewers and listeners for this week, we've decided not to prepare it. Well, we decided not to prepare anything together this week.
Right.
We decided to fly by the seat of our pants and just go rogue.
Which is what we did last week, and I think it worked pretty well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is why we decided to try it again this week. But I don't know. I'm feeling like you're going to blow me out of the waters again, you know?
Well, let's see how we go. Would you like to go with the first one? Once again, have no idea what she's got coming up. So.
All right. So I've decided to incorporate a little bit of conversation into this one. And I'm going to call this one Convince Me. All right?
Oh, no.
So I'm going to rattle off a movie title I either have seen or haven't seen, because I know that you have a pretty extensive catalogue of things that you've seen. And I want you to convince me to either rewatch this or watch it for the first time.
Fuck. Okay.
But we're going to keep it to a sentence. Like, we're just going to keep it really short and simple.
Sure.
All right?
So you saw me squirming, so you just said, let's skip to a sentence.
No, you can read my notes right here. Convince Me in one sentence was the original name of it.
I believe you.
All right, so let's start off with one of the ones that I have discussed here on the podcast and I have sworn never, ever, ever to watch ever again. Bad Taste. I would like you to convince me in one sentence as to why I should rewatch that.
To explore the evolution of Peter Jackson.
That's not convincing me.
You love Peter Jackson, right?
I do love Peter Jackson.
You love Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
So if you go backwards through Peter Jackson's catalogue all the way to Bad Taste, you can see the essence of Lord of the Rings in his work. Like, you can see his style leading to Lord of the Rings. So if you go backwards and you go to something like The Frighteners, it's clearly Lord of the Rings in that, the way they do the ghosts and the specters and all that kind of stuff. Very, very much that style found its way to Lord of the Rings. Go backwards even more to Braindead. A lot of the camera angles, like the fisheye kind of camera angles and stuff that he put into Lord of the Rings is in that. And then if you go back to Bad Taste, once again, stuff that evolved into Braindead, that evolved into The Frighteners, into Heavenly Creatures, all that kind of stuff, there is a trajectory of growth. And I think it's a fascinating one too. So I'm not even going to convince you that the story is worth going back for. The comedy certainly is. Particularly now that you've become accustomed with the Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Shaun of the Dead stuff, because it's very, very similar kind of comedy if you go right back.
Anyway. Okay. I'm glad I let you rattle on about that because it's that last part that kind of almost put me over the edge there.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a fantastic. And not only that, go back to the fact that it's his first film. Consider the factors in making that film, like hardly any money, DIY props, bunch of mates getting together to make a movie. Like, there's no studio involved. I don't think there was government funding. I think it was all Peter Jackson's parents put their money into it, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it is a friend's movie done off the smell of an oily rag, and it's led to someone that's, got accolades and Hollywood blockbusters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. What about Slither?
Slither is in the James Gunn movie.
I don't know. All I know is that the poster is of a bathtub. And...
Yes. Okay.
Yep.
So we were talking the other week about you watched Tremors. And you enjoyed it. And I said, maybe that's a subgenre of horror that you might enjoy. This is kind of that subgenre. It's a creature feature. It's a little bit leaning sort of more into the, not scary, but it leans more into the grotesque side of horror, but within that parameter. So, because when it came out, I compared it to Critters, because Critters is also a movie comparable to The Blob, which is very much like a 1950s sci-fi B movie that's sort of, you know, they've recreated for the 80s. Slither is that for the 2000s. And it's funny. It's very funny. It's grotesque. If you like James Gunn and the character, the players that he has in his shows, then you'll get a kick out of it.
Okay. All right. I'm almost convinced on that one. When you said it was funny too, I can appreciate that kind of stuff if it's got some humor in it. All right. What about Teen Wolf 2?
Do you like Teen Wolf 1?
It was fine.
Okay. Well, then number 2 will be fine for you as well. I enjoy it, one, because I like shoddy number 2 movies. I like it because when I was a kid, it was on television a lot, and I probably watched it more than Teen Wolf 1.
Okay.
Justin Bateman's in there.
Jason
Bateman's in there. It's his first lead role.
He is on, like, Mike telling everyone how horrible it is and how much he hates it.
Doesn't matter, because so many actors say that about early work, and that's irrelevant when there's a fan base for something.
Okay. All right.
I hate it when actors do that and they go and talk shit on movies that they think, you know, they've done that are inferior. And it's like, well, you've actually got a legion of fans that love that. So you're kind of pissing on them at the same time.
Okay.
And look, it's an extension of part one. There's no convincing you. If you thought number one was okay, there's not really any reason for you to go watch number two.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. And the last, but not least, and this is important.
Okay.
Speed 2.
Ooh. Speed 2, different kind of movie to Speed 1, so don't expect the same.
Okay.
The only real connection there is Sandra Bullock and the director are the same.
Okay.
But you've got, it is essentially Die Hard on a boat, and you've got Willem Dafoe as the Hans Gruber.
Oh, okay.
Jason Patrick comes in. He's not trying to be Keanu Reeves. People had this expectation that he was the new Keanu Reeves. He wasn't trying to be. He was being a new character. He's not the same character. And it's just that Sandra Bullock is a girl that finds herself in the same situation again. Yeah.
Bloody Sandra Bullock getting herself.
It's got one of the most ludicrous, ridiculous, and yet incredible boat crash sequences ever. Like, it's so fucking stupid that, and because it never ends, this boat crashes into like a pier and then just keeps going into the land and keeps going and going and going, and you're watching it going, what the this is so outrageous. And then the more it continues, you're like, but it's fucking amazing at the same time. Like, the audacity to actually think this is something that can happen within this universe is just outrageous. But I like it. It's a fun movie. Not many other people would agree with me, but fuck them. Like, it is not Speed 1, it's Speed 2. It's a different kettle of fish.
Okay. All right. I'm convinced on that one.
You'd enjoy it for like just a popcorn movie, you know, just sit on the couch and watch it. You can get distracted and it doesn't matter.
I think I'm almost going to be sad that it's not Sandy and Keanu, you know, like, they were so good together. They had such good chemistry. So I'm sad that they're not
Jason Patrick, though. He's
together
good too.
Anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 I do.
And that's All right. All right. Well, you've convinced me, I reckon, on at least 2 out of 4.
All right. Well, I kind of enjoyed that more than I thought I would.
Yeah. I liked it. You're nice quite one. Good at it. I don't think you can do it in one sentence.
No, what the trick is, not one sentence, it's in one breath.
One breath. Okay.
So to get as much information out into one spiel as possible before you stop to take a breath.
All right. All right. I'll make a note of that, shall we?
All right. It's just like what is it called? It's like just vomit this fucking description.
Word vomit.
Yeah, that's it. And just get it out there.
I have that, but mine's not as eloquent, you know.
All right. Well, I want to do with you a true or false. Go back to the old true or false.
Oh, so okay.
Spit some information at you, and you just got to guess whether it's true or false.
Okay, I can do that.
So first one would be true or false. Jack Black plays the lead villain in The NeverEnding Story Part 3.
Oh.
Is that
I
true
haven't
or false?
seen part
I
three.
suspected as much, which is why I threw it at you.
Well, the Never Ending Story was like what, 80s? So then two would have to be
84, I think it was.
also, well, then two would have to be at least mid to late 80s then.
I think it was 89.
89. And so then three would have to be like early 90s.
Think it was 94, if I'm not mistaken.
94. So it's plausible. I'm gonna go true.
Yes, it's true. He
Oh.
played a character called Slip, who is the leader of the Nasties, which is a gang of bullies.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he'd
and
be good at
he
that
had he was a
too.
skinhead in it and wore a leather jacket, and he was like a bit slimmer at the time. But
Dang.
definitely had that Jack Blackness about him.
Nice. That's cool.
Well, excellent. You're one for one right now.
Love it. That never
Next one
happens.
is true or false. Free Willy was conceived during the making of the Goonies.
Oh, how good would that be? Oh, I don't know how that would come about from the goot. No, I'm going to say false on this one. That doesn't sound. Don't make faces at me. Don't put me off. I'm going to stick with false.
It's true.
Really?
Yes. So obviously, Free Willy is produced by Richard Donner, who is the director of the Goonies.
Oh,
But
cool.
Free Willy is written by Keith Walker, who plays Mr. Walsh, the dad in the Goonies, the guy putting up the flag that says, "Oh, hi there." Yeah. And he conceived Free Willy when he was in or on location, and I believe somewhere, I don't know if it was in that location, but or up the coast, there was a story in the news about a killer whale. And he sort of started jotting down these ideas while he was sort of in his trailer or whatever. And it evolved several years later into Free Willy. And Richard Donner, the director of Goonies, is like, I'll get behind that, I'll produce it.
I love that story. I
Yeah.
love that. No wonder I love both of those movies. Love
Yeah,
it.
Free Willy, like 1, 2, and 3, it's a solid trilogy. It's a
It
really good
is so
trilogy.
I'm agreeing with you,
And
firing on all
don't you
cylinders
reckon
there.
like Free Willy 2 and 3 recapture the exact same aesthetic and atmosphere of the first one?
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, particularly number 3. I think number 3's got a really great atmosphere.
I don't remember number three as much as I remember one and two, but I
Yeah.
remember whenever if I found them on DVD or something, I snatched that up pretty dang quick. I
For
loved
sure.
them.
Excellent. Okay. Here we go. So, this is an interesting one. True or false? The original Herbie movie, The Love Bug, was originally written as a cheesy horror movie before Walt Disney purchased it to turn it into a family film. Obviously, must have
Oh,
recognized the potential or something.
that sounds plausible because I can see that as like one of your B grade sort of comedy horror type things about a car trying to eat people or something like that, like going on a rampage in a small town. But yeah, I'll go true for that one. It's going to be
False.
false
It's
though.
false.
Yeah, it's going to be false. I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yes. Stephen King wrote Christine, which is essentially that story.
Of course. I
Yeah.
was wondering why it sounded like that could be totally plausible.
Yeah.
Bloody
All
hell.
righty. So the final one for you is true or false. A real life serial killer played a role in the movie The Exorcist.
Oh. Isn't The Exorcist about banishing demons from bodies?
What's about exorcists that, yeah, a possession movie, demonic possession, little girls possessed by the devil, and the priest comes and does the exorcism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's being possessed by a serial killer?
No. Like
What was the question?
a real life serial killer, like a serial killer in real life, played a role, like as an actor, in The Exorcist.
What was his name?
Paul Bateson.
False.
No, it's true. Paul Bateson, serial killer, that in the movie, he plays like when little young Reagan is going in for all the medical tests, he plays like the, what do you call it? The fucking the guy that numbs you. What do they call him? Like
anesthesiologist.
That guy. And he's in the background. And he was actually, that was his profession in real life. Like that was his day job. And so I don't know if it was, they were at the hospital that he worked at and called for extras, or if they just called for extras that had that experience. But anyway, he's in it. And it was like only a year or two after the film was released that he was captured and found to be a serial killer. And that experience, because it was directed by William Friedkin, inspired the movie Cruising, because all of his serial killings were gay people. And so Cruising is a loose sort of, or inspired by his exploits, and William Friedkin directed both movies.
Whoa.
Yeah. I didn't articulate that well.
And I've seen Cruising because it was your recommendation.
Yeah, I didn't articulate any of that really well, but yes, serial killer is in the background of The Exorcist.
Okay, I've got a couple of things here.
All right.
First of all, you're acting phenomenal, because I honestly thought that you were stumped as to trying to find a name for this person. So kudos to you, my friend. Second of all, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And I can't remember what my third point was, but that was a really good truth or false. That blew my tiny mind.
Oh, excellent.
Blew my tiny mind.
Here's something that might blow your tiny mind. I only read the other day that Johnny Knoxville is preparing for Jackass 5.
Oh, stop.
I know. I thought it was the end of the road for them, but I thought that at the end of part 3 as well. So there you go.
He's gonna die soon. Like, he's really old now. He can't be doing this shit.
Did you see part 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, so part 4 was kind of like a handing of the baton, right? They got the new crew in to take up some of the slack. So I reckon number 5 will be more of that, but with the riskier stuff going to the young guys.
Okay. Okay. All right.
And the young guys were great in part 4. Like, I don't think part 4 was quite up to standard. Like, I don't think it was as good as the previous ones, but
teething. There
was some gold in there, and I think the young guys in it were actually as good as the original young guys when they were, you know, on MTV. So, look, I will do anything, you know, like I will watch any kind of Jackass. There we go. Look, that's a well-worn. I was going to say, Chloe, you've got a well-worn box.
Oh, I thank you. made it myself. But yes, this, I can't even tell you when I bought this, but it is, I've had it for a very, very long time. And as much as I want to watch it, my children get too interested in what I watch these days. So I have to be really careful. They also like to jump off things.
Yeah, don't want to give them ideas.
Yeah, so I'm going to wait just a bit longer with this one, I think. Also, like the snakes, and they do stuff with shit, and I'm not prepared for that. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Have they played the beanbag or tennis ball game yet?
No.
It's a great game that we used to play as, like, you know, 20-something-year-olds. We'd get drunk and... Yeah, blokes particularly, you sit at opposite ends of the room to each other on the ground with your legs apart, and you lob a beanbag or a tennis ball at their nuts.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to flinch. It's a great game.
Yeah. My kids don't need alcohol to do things like that to each other. They just do it because. So
there we go.
Yeah. There's a reason I look so tired all the time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh,
interesting, interesting. All right, well, keeping with old school Wednesday up late, I'm going to shoot some rapid fire at you. But you know how I said before, like, you have to convince me in one sentence. These rapid fires, and look, I know your journey with the sleep apnea, okay? I know you're a little bit fuzzy. But we're going to need some snappy answers, Glenn, all right?
All right. So what, I'm not allowed to think? Answers.
First thing that comes to your mind, the first one.
I've never been good at that.
And don't question it.
Because if I don't question it, I'll say something that's not related at all. It might be like apple pie.
Well, that's fine, too.
Okay, cool. Fine. Yeah,
okay. All right. We're going to go? All right.
Yes.
Your biggest red flag actor?
Tilda Swinton.
Your favorite anti-hero?
I can't remember his name. I know him. Defender.
Uh-huh. The best Harry Potter movie?
Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, we can't be friends anymore. Halloween franchise or Friday the 13th?
Halloween, but okay. I don't like that answer either.
Stick it.
Nah.
Worst movie you have ever seen?
Sound of Music.
And the best movie based on a game?
I don't know any movies based on games. I mean, I do, but I can't think of any based on games.
Tron. I think your answer is Tron.
It's not based on a game, though, so.
Tron's a game, isn't it?
No, it wasn't at the time.
Oh, okay. Street Fighter, done. Can we go back? Because, like,
well, to the Harry Potter question?
Yeah, that's not the right answer.
Well, I would have said Prisoner of Azkaban if I had more time to actually contemplate. But the reason I went for Philosopher's Stone is because that's the first one that really, I mean, it's the magic of Harry Potter in that film. I think that is a really good introduction to Harry Potter. So obviously you can't have a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 without number one. So I kind of just went straight for number one because it's important.
Okay. I take this on board. I think when you ask anybody, it's always Prisoner of Azkaban. Whenever you ask anybody, and it's the best book and it is the best movie. And I think it's because you're seeing them go from like kids into like, and it's transitioning into the darker sort of sides of the movies and the books and stuff like that.
It's a whole new production value.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why everyone gravitates towards number three.
I just love the whole fact that you're like, Glenn, just whatever comes to your head. And yet we're talking about how that was wrong.
Yeah, well, I didn't say I wasn't going to do that. Now tell me why you didn't like the Halloween answer.
Well, because it's a complicated franchise, right? Like, I think Friday the 13th is more consistent, right? Like, the films all have a sort of level of consistency and quality about them, whereas Halloween is up, down, up, down, up, down in some really, really excellent, really, really bad ways. But when Halloween is good, it's phenomenal. When Halloween is bad, it's abysmal. Whereas Friday the 13th is sort of just a flat line. Like, it's neither excellent nor terrible. It's like just good.
Okay. All right. I take that.
So like conflicted when I immediately thought of both. I'm like, oh, well, like, can we just like pinpoint one movie from each franchise? Like,
yeah. Okay. No. Yeah,
no. Because you're going to say like original Halloween, original Friday the 13th. It's Halloween by a mile because it's just one of the, it's a masterpiece.
That's why I said franchise, because I knew it would be harder.
Very hard. And not to mention, Halloween has like, I think, 4 or 5 different timelines that, you know, are inconsistent with each other. So that's what makes it a bit clunky.
Fair enough.
Paul Rudd got his start in Halloween, number 6.
No way.
He's the lead actor in number 6, yeah.
With his beautiful blue eyes.
And
he hasn't aged a day. No, he still looks exactly the same, I bet.
All right. Are you ready for some more visual games?
Yes.
I'm going to throw some photos of celebrities when they were little children.
Oh,
and you have to guess who they are. Now,
yes,
look,
let's do that.
Last week, I gave you some easies. I just threw some really simple ones at you, and you got every single one without fail.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fear.
Except for Evil Dead.
Yes, I have a fear that's going to happen again because I thought about this afterwards, like maybe she's seen all of these photos before and knows exactly who they are.
You'd be surprised.
Okay, first one's coming at you. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
There you go. Who's that?
What a cutie. Oh my gosh. Now tell me that's up on the screen. That is going to be up on the screen. Yeah, okay. What a little cutie. That's Orlando Bloom though.
There you go.
Yeah. He's still a friggin' cutie. Hello.
All right,
my goodness.
Done. Once again, 1 for 1.
Okay.
Next one coming at you now. Who is that?
Look at the baby. Look at those cheeks. Oh my goodness. I have no idea who this is.
Explore the shape.
Yeah, so they've got quite a large head.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny little button nose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm going to, what's Ron Swanson's real name again?
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. I don't know why I'm going to Nick Offerman. I don't even know if this is a boy. I honestly have no idea who this is.
There you go.
Oh, stop!
You can see it when you know it.
Yes! That's crazy. That's Brad Pitt.
It is.
My goodness.
This one, look, it could be easy, could be difficult. I don't know. Let's have a look.
Okay, let's have a look.
There you go.
Oh. That's a little cutie pie, Kate Winslet, right
Turns
there.
out that was very easy. I couldn't, like, yeah, there weren't any baby photos I could find for that one. Okay, that's all right.
No,
All right.
she's so pretty. Oh my goodness.
Last one is my favorite.
Okay.
Coming at you now.
Oh my gosh. Who is
You'll
that?
be shocked when you know. And it's obvious. It's so obvious when you know.
I mean, he's got a very serious look on his face. He's got some banging hair there.
Well, that should help.
That should help. Is that like Boy George? No,
No.
okay. No, I'm not sure. I don't know who that is. Oh! Yabba dabba do. What the
100%. You
actual
can
F?
see it though, can't
I mean, I can, but that's so weird. Wow.
Oh shit.
Interesting.
Yep.
Why Russell?
Brand.
Oh my God, he's like, sorry, hold for stroke.
That's what I say to
Wow.
Mel.
Yeah. Oh my Lord. Jesus. Okay, interesting.
That's it. That's all I got.
Oh, look at baby Brad. He's so cute. Oh my gosh.
Got like a square head.
He does. I was trying to be kind
No, once
while
that
I said it. I'm
no.
like, this child has quite a large head.
Let's face it, we're all kind of ugly when we're babies, like we're aliens,
Oh.
so.
No, I came out with my model good looks. They've never gone away or anything. But look, if you ever get your hand on my childhood pictures, I'll probably have to murder you. So,
Next week we reveal one each.
horse facey here had some buck ass teeth. I'm just telling you
So did I.
right now.
So did I. I used to have teeth out to here.
Yeah, they
Spent
were
years having
way
them
too big
corrected.
for my face.
Well, let's save that for the next Inspire 9 episode,
Okay.
and we'll share some baby photos.
Baby photos. Okay. All right. Oh, I don't know if I want to do that.
Have got a question for you though.
Tell
This
me.
is not movie related at all, and it's
Okay.
something that I'm very curious to get some opinions of. So if you're on TikTok and you see this, I'd love to get your thoughts. Weet-Bix, hot or cold?
Cold.
Okay.
What do you mean hot? No.
Okay. Well, let's see what TikTok make of that. Do you eat your Weet-Bix hot or cold? I'm just very curious to know.
I mean, are you going to explain yourself or are we going to wait till next week to find
No,
out?
look, it's an ongoing conversation in my household. I've been raised to eat them both ways, so I enjoy them both cold and hot, and prefer them hot. And I've got people in this house that don't believe that's a thing, refuse to try it. I'm like, well, it's
Does
amazing.
that mean you put hot water on them?
No, so you Weet-Bix with the milk. Then, I mean, you can do them over the stove, which is what my mum used to do when I was a kid, or in the microwave for 30 to 60 seconds. And then the Weet-Bix and the milk turn into like a porridge. And then you sprinkle like brown sugar or sugar on top, and it's just phenomenal.
Interesting.
Or honey, yeah.
Interesting. We had to ban Weet-Bix in our house
You've
because
banned a lot of things in your house
well,
well, Nutella, because you would eat it all.
yes, correct.
Milo, because you would eat it all.
Correct, yes.
Weet-Bix?
Weet-Bix because my oldest son eats them all, which is fine. I'm happy with him eating them. However, he has to put half a tub of honey on it, and then we're going through tubs and tubs and tubs of honey, and he's also getting really hopped up on the sugar of the honey. So
Have you ever had a truckie scone or scone?
No.
No, which is like a dry Weet-Bix with like jam and cream on top.
Ugh. Ugh. Yuck.
When I was a kid, I used to have Weet-Bix with Vegemite and butter on top.
Yuck.
Did you
Yuck.
not used to do that?
No.
There was a time where Weet-Bix on there, like, they didn't have Facebook back then, but I think guess their marketing, I don't know if it was newspaper or television or whatever, but they had it advertised that you can put margarine and Vegemite on your Weet-Bix.
We used to do the saladas and you used to push them together and have the little
Oh,
Vegemite
the
and butter
Vita Wheat did that
worms.
particularly well.
But my nana, Who is the best person in the entire world. She literally is. She would make the best sausage rolls you have ever tasted in your life, and she wouldn't use breadcrumbs. She would use Weet-Bix.
Yeah, absolutely.
Weet-Bix in her sausage rolls, and it would just help glue everything together, and my God, she was a genius.
And when you have hot Weet-Bix, you'll...
She's still around.
Yeah, when you have hot Weet-Bix, you'll understand why those sausage rolls held together so well, because what it turns into is a whole different kind of thing. I love it.
Okay. Anyway. I'm going to take that on board.
Hey.
And I'm going to report back.
You weren't convinced on spam when I first pitched it.
That's true. I do love me a fried spam sandwich these days. Although my husband tried to feed me a wrap the other day with spam in it, but he didn't cook it.
Yeah. I mean, that's how a lot of people eat it, but it's not preferable. Like, no. Even when we were talking about it in the early days, I told you not to do it, not to raw dog that shit.
No, slimy and just not appetizing whatsoever. You got to fry it until it resembles something like bacon, and then it's fucking mwah. 100%. But yeah, you hand me a slimy spam sandwich and you don't expect me to throw it in your face, that's your problem. Sorry. Let's move on.
Please.
My next one, I haven't quite figured out. I have figured it out, but how I kind of want this to go. So we're going to work it out together. We're kind of going to do like a little spitball thing.
This is a workshop.
Live.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I call this Redeemerator. I'm really good with coming up with names for things.
It needs an intro.
Redeemerator.
Yeah.
Get the theme music for Speed up. I love it. So what I want from... We're gonna both do this. Is there a movie that was created or a movie that was remade that you feel like fell flat? And how would they redeem themselves from that? Like, what could they have done differently? So I'll go first.
Yep.
Right? Flatliners. The remade one.
Okay, I've got a there's an easy solution to that.
Okay, tell me.
Ignore it. Just watch the original.
Why was it remade in the first place?
100%.
Okay. Yeah.
See, whereas my brain tends to go, and I've had this sort of inner conversation with myself, and I may have had it with a few people in the past, is movies, because I'm not a big fan of remakes, right? I don't believe movies need to be remade, but there's always those that work, right? There's like Scarface is a remake, The Fly is a remake, you know, The Thing is a remake. There are good ones out there. And what makes them so good is that they improve upon the original, right? So you got to look for a movie that really did fall flat. Mm-hmm. And most people would say, don't remake that. It was shit. It's like, well, that's the reason you should remake it. Make it good.
Right.
Good example. There was a movie in the 80s from the guy that directed Tron. It was his next movie. It was produced by George Lucas, had Mark Hamill. It had Bob Peck, who's in Jurassic Park. It was a great cast called Slipstream. Okay. Right. And it's a fantastic concept. It looks really good. But somewhere along the way, I think if I'm not mistaken, there was like maybe the production company went bankrupt or money got lost. They couldn't really complete it to fruition. And it got released as like a shambles movie. But it's a great concept with a fantastic production design. And it would be an incredible remake.
Interesting. I like it.
Same with one called The Sound of Thunder, which Peter Hyams directed. It had Edward Burns, it had Ben Kingsley, and it was a movie all about going, about time travel tourism. So you pay a company to take you back in time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this particular corporate company hires them to go, they do like a corporate, like a day trip, you know how they do corporate bonding exercises? So they go back to the Jurassic period, right? And they only get to be there for like 2 or 3 minutes, right? So you get zapped back to the dinosaurs. You're on this sort of wherever you land, you've got to stay where you are. You can't move because anything you do can affect the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, somebody drops like a hair clip or a pen or something very mundane. Mm-hmm. And then they come back to the future. But that one tiny little thing has altered the course of history.
Wow.
And it's a great concept. But once again, production company went bust. Budget was lost. They ended up having to make the movie for a fraction of what they set out to make it. And it could have been this glorious Steven Spielberg type of movie. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to just be like this shitty DTV movie with poxy effects that, if it got remade, could be phenomenal.
What's that called again?
Sound of Thunder.
Sound of Thunder,
which is based on a really popular, I think, Ray Bradbury book, if I'm not mistaken, which sci-fi nerds would consider that one of the great, you know, sci-fi pieces of literature. But yeah, the movie just did not hit at all, and it could have landed so much harder, and it would be a great remake.
I like it. One that I want to mention is Tomorrow When the War Began.
Yep. Yep.
And so I love that book.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. And then when they turned it into a movie, I'm like, great. I feel like, I don't know if it wasn't like distributed well or not, but I feel like it, like the casting, I think, was great. I think the way that they filmed everything, even like the script, everything kind of worked. And it's a really good movie, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree.
I feel it needs to be redeemed in terms of that needs to be more out there. It needs to be more mainstream, that movie.
A couple of problems that one had, and I think it would be the fact that, because I agree, I think it's a good movie. I think it hit perfectly well. Like it played really, really well. But I guess, one, it's Australian, so its exposure is going to be limited.
Mm.
Two, I think it's a bit too teenagey. I think the subject matter is bigger than what the audience can comprehend, if that makes sense. I mean, I think older readers like are probably reading that book more like your 17, 18, 19 year olds, as opposed to the movie. I think it was more your 12, 13, 14 went along to see.
Okay.
So I think that's another reason it probably didn't do too well, because it wasn't comprehended the way it should have been. And then you had the remake of Red Dawn came out at the same time. And that kind of overshadowed it, which ironically had an Aussie in its lead. I think it's a perfectly good movie. They did remake it for television. They did the ABC did like a 6-part version of it, which was kind of the same and recaptured the same kind of quality, I think.
Yeah, I think I started watching it.
Mm.
I can't remember if I finished watching it.
What
so
they
that's
need to
how
do
much
is
it hit with
they
me.
Need to, if they're gonna go and re-adapt it, do it in the style of like your Children of Men or that new Civil War movie that came out. Do it in a really edgy, scary kind of way where it's realistic.
Yeah, I agree. It could have been a little bit more hard-hitting sort of thing to like really throw it in your face with
and
the
I
dire
think
consequences
the
and stuff.
The other problem, and I can't remember, you might be able to correct me, did the movie name an enemy combatant? Because I remember something, it was either that movie or another one where it was clear they were referring to, say, North Korea or something like that, but they didn't identify because they were too scared to sort of, you know, pinpoint a country because people...
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think
if
it was an
did
unnamed enemy foe, and I kind of feel like, you know, just fucking name an enemy that is realistically, you know, capable of doing these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would make
we
it
have
so
a
much
few.
More intense. Yeah, it would make it so much more intense.
Interesting, interesting. Mm. Any other spring to your mind at all that you feel like could be redeemed?
Oh, I'm trying to think of some really shitty movies. You know me with shitty movies, I either really like them or I forget them immediately.
Yeah.
So no, off the top of my head, I can't.
Red Dawn written down in terms of, I've never actually seen the original, so I didn't know whether or not it needed to be remade.
No. It's
Yeah,
great.
Okay. So
yeah.
Anyway, I have watched the remake of it and it was fine, like I enjoyed it, but like,
see, number one came at the time when the Cold War was happening and Russia was the big threat, and it's such a, like, if you went back and watched Roadhouse recently, go back and watch Red Dawn, because it's
I've been trying.
Such a hot shot young Hollywood cast at the time, led by Patrick Swayze, and you got Jennifer Grey in there and a few others. That's a banging movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like right up there on my to be watched. So.
Excellent. Mm. Well, I've got one final game for you.
Okay.
Finish this quote.
Okay.
So I got 4 movie quotes and I want you to finish them off. So
okay.
Hopefully I've made it tricky for you. I don't know. Like, I've failed at trickiness recently, so I really need to up my game. But how about this movie quote? Can you finish it? All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my...
Close up?
Yep. Fuck.
Is that from...
Bonus points.
Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
No.
No, I don't know.
Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, okay. All right.
How about, what we've got here is a failure to...
I know this. Is a failure to...
What we've got here is a failure to...
It's right there. It's right there. A failure to... No. It's not coming.
It should.
Communicate. Communicate.
Yes. Bonus points for if you can guess the movie.
Oh, come on.
I don't expect you to.
I can see it in my brain, but I can't. It's not coming out.
Cool Hand Luke. Paul Newman. Okay. This is one of my favorite quotes of all time. I think it's hilarious, but gentlemen, you can't fight in here.
Fuck off.
Okay. I'll give you a little bit more. See if you can finish
okay.
it.
Okay.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the...
Strippers.
This is the war room.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have gotten that
one. It's a great line. It's the most famous line probably from Dr. Strangelove, the Stanley Kubrick movie. But that is hilarious, like, because they're in the war room. And
yeah.
You can't fight. Anyway, I don't
I get the irony.
Yeah, okay, excellent. Good. You can never be too sure. Last one.
Yep.
My God, it's full of... I'll do it the way the movie would do it.
Okay.
My God, it's full of... Maybe put a slight computer sort of voice on it.
Aliens.
You're not far off.
It's full of bodies.
My God. Full. It's full of...
Space. I don't know.
Very close.
Space aliens.
Stars.
Oh, okay.
So that, you're probably not going to have no idea where that came from.
No.
Okay, so it's from the movie 2010, which is the sequel to 2001.
Okay, right.
The sci-fi nerds will know that it's a quote from the book 2001 that they never used in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And they picked it up in number two. It's the final broadcast of Dave Bowman, the astronaut that gets lost in space.
Right, okay.
He gets sucked into a wormhole and his final words are, my God, it's full of stars.
Oh. Oh.
What?
I could never go out into space. I cannot even understand why people would want to.
Mm.
I do not have that urge in me whatsoever. Planetariums freak me out.
It is, as Star Trek would say, it's the final frontier. Like, space is the final, you know, final point of exploration for humanity and mankind. I love the idea of space. It is terrifying. I think if you were in space, it would be far more petrifying than what you could possibly imagine. But, yeah, that whole movie, 2001, the Kubrick film, is all about the missing astronauts that ended up being sucked through a wormhole. And number two is one of the most underrated movies. It plays out much more like Alien than it does a Kubrick art film. It's much more a straight sci-fi movie. It's got John Lithgow, Helen Mirren, Roy Scheider. Like, it's just a great cast.
Okay, interesting.
Really, really good movie. And a lot of people that say, oh, I didn't like 2001, it's too artsy-fartsy and I didn't understand it, you can ignore that and go to number two, and it's just a straight sci-fi movie that's not pretentious in any way, shape, or form. Good stuff. Okay. Underrated.
Good recommendation. I've got a few recommendations.
Yeah, I know. Today, going back a few weeks.
Yeah. The list is growing. I'm not overwhelmed. It's all fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Well, that was super duper fun.
Super duper. It was.
And it turned out way better than I thought it would.
Well, you had low expectations.
I did.
Why?
For me personally,
Not of the show,
my abilities to come up with some fun stuff for you to do. You know, would be challenging and interesting.
Well,
you know?
Maybe. I mean, I have found that it has been not only fun, but a little bit easier to prepare for visual games. So feel free to do some.
Yeah, I'm going to have that on my list for next week.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Fun. Ooh. Well, always fun hanging out with you, Glenn. I hear that outro music coming, so I'm going to wrap this up. It's always fun to hang out with you. Please, everyone, go and check out goodmoviemonday.com and find us on that website. We are available on all social medias, and we do a visual aspect of it as well. So if you want to, you know, do a little spying and just see how fucking good looking we are.
If that applies to you, then you've really... picked the bad episode to listen to because it's been a visual one again without any context.
Well, it's just going to draw more people there, you know, because we'll they're intrigued. No.
That Shrek photo might have turned them off.
I mean, I got to get out of here before I slide off the chair, you know, like. Sayonara.
Straight onto your Shrek-ini. See ya.
Bye.